produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello and welcome to the living room. It's the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. I'm so glad that you tuned in. You're going to be blessed by what I have been given to share with you. Before we get to today's topic, let me go over just a few housekeeping items. First of all, I hope you guys are staying safe. We are living in the midst of a season, unlike any that we've ever seen. It's requiring some different skills, some determination, some discipline, some things that we don't normally have to tap into to deal with everyday life. And yet you all are doing it. And I want you to know that you are to be commended. You know, it takes a special level of determination and resilience to be able to deal with different life circumstances and still keep it moving, you know, to adjust to social distancing and Zoom calls and all of those things that we have been introduced to in 2020. And so I just simply want you to know that you're doing it and you are to be commended. I also want to say to those of you who have been following me on social media and you are regular listeners of the Living Room broadcast, thank you so much for an amazing year. I have been able to get some great feedback and have some excellent guests on the show this year. I think about many of you who have contributed with your stories, your testimonies this year. And so I want you to know that I appreciate you greatly. The Living Room audience appreciates you. And we look forward to a new year of sharing information that will empower and equip you. That's what I am accountable for. That's my passion. That's my assignment, is to make sure that when you tune into the living room, you get both empowerment and encouragement. And so today's show is no different. Today, we're going to talk about I choose joy. That's right. Those three words. I choose joy. Now, when you think about this time of the year, the Christmas season, it's a time when joy is a part of our everyday conversation. And we see it pretty much everywhere, even in Christmas decorations, because we know that this is the time of the year that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we know that the proclamation that was given, the prophecy that was given in the Old Testament said that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. We know that even in that declaration of what was to come, that part of that was, you know, to celebrate who he was, but also what he would bring. And so that's why the song says, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. So we know that this time of the year, joy is a part of our conversation. But I don't know if you understood how powerful joy is. I'm not sure that in our, you know, hustle and bustle around the holiday season, buying gifts and giving gifts, that we really understood the supernatural power of joy. And so I'm glad you tuned in today, because that's absolutely what we're going to talk about. I want to share with you my journey of getting reacquainted with joy and then getting a deeper revelation of what power there is in joy. And so I began this journey one morning a couple of weeks ago as I sat up on the edge of my bed. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where you have a moment of reflection at the beginning of a day. And I began to contemplate the number of people whose lives have been touched by tragedy. I began to think about the number of situations that had occurred in my life or in the lives of those that I love, just in the window of a 2 to 3 week period. And as I began to think about those things and how deep and the magnitude of those things, there was a moment when I kind of got, you know, really like quiet. I mean, in my mind, in my heart, I just kind of got still. And as I got still, I heard in my spirit, I choose joy. And it was really a proclamation that no matter what it is that you see, and no matter what it is that you feel, and no matter what tragedies you witness, it's a decision of your will to choose joy. And so from that, I began to reacquaint myself with joy. And I began to study the Word of God to see what was this joy all about. You know, we're familiar with songs that say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. We're familiar with songs that say joy, 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 unspeakable joy. Songs that even say, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. One of my favorites, right? But what is it about this joy that is so special? Well, I'm glad you asked. My journey began first to just define what is joy. So let me share with you a couple of definitions. Joy is a glorious and triumphant state of knowing that my well-being rests securely in the hands of a God who is working a favorable outcome for me. Joy is a glorious and triumphant state of knowing. That's key right there, knowing. That my well-being rests securely in the hands of a God who is working a favorable outcome for me. That joy is a state of my emotional state, but it's also a state of being that is dedicated to focus on the promises of God. I've heard it said this way, happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. In other words, happiness depends on external events, external circumstances, but joy depends on Jesus. So if my money is not funny and my change is not strange, if I have enough to cover my commitments for the month, if I am in good relationship with my coworkers and good relationship with my family, and everything in my life is working the way I'd like, then that is happiness. But joy, on the other hand, has its foundation from the inside. In other words, joy is an inside job, and it allows me to draw from a well that is not contingent upon what's going on externally in my life. Oh, I hope you hear me today, that joy literally is a supernatural force. It is a deposit that is made by my decision to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And I can draw from this well called joy, and it allows me to transcend, to rise above the things that are going on around me. Let me put it this way. Joy, in my estimation, is a combination of hope, which is your earnest expectation, faith, which is believing that God is telling the truth, and love, that unconditional, steadfast, unmovable love that God has for us. That's what joy is. It's a settled celebration of the soul that many times is able to coexist with other emotions. So I can still be sad because I've lost a loved one and I'm going to miss them, but I can still have joy. I can have tears running down my face because of something that I've seen that has touched me deeply, but I can still have joy. I can know that something ahead of me might not be anything that I desire. You know, I have a dear sister who is in the middle of cancer treatment. But let me tell you something, she still has joy. That's what joy is. And so as I did my research, I saw that Nehemiah, the Old Testament prophet, chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, he talks about joy. And in this passage, the people of God were dealing with a season of disobedience. And because of their disobedience, they were actually in captivity. And in their captivity, they were actually being encouraged by having the word of God read before them. And they listened to the word. And when they listened to the word, they became convicted about their life and the way that they had contributed to their own bondage, to their own captivity. And it touched them so deeply that they began to cry and weep and grieve. And the prophet said to them, you know what? Don't grieve. He said, eat of the meat and the sweet and give to those who may not have it, to be able to shift your attention from sorrow and sadness to the promises of God. Why? He said, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So there we have it. Absolute indication of how powerful joy is, that it's not just an emotion, but it is a celebrated and a settled state of your spirit, of your soul, that gives you the ability to access strength. That is exactly what he told them. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, let's go back to the definition of joy. We said it was what? A glorious and triumphant state of knowing that my well-being rests securely in the hands of a God who is working a favorable outcome for me. And so when you hold out that as the definition of joy, then you can see how Nehemiah was able to say to them, make sure you got your focus in the right place, because your focus is going to tap into something that's going to give you strength. And that something is called joy. We know that joy is also one of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, right after love in Galatians 22 is joy. And that this joy is evidence that you have God living on the inside of you, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And that is what is causing you to produce that state, that joy. And so we know that James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 talks to us about joy. It says, what? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be mature and entire, lacking nothing. So why is James telling us to consider it joy, to count it all joy when multiple things happen in our lives, when different circumstances are going on all at the same time, when you're in the middle of a pandemic and you are concerned about the security of your job and you have family members who are testing positive for COVID and you have other loved ones who have transitioned to glory because of the effects of this disease, and you've got holidays coming that now you won't be able to celebrate the way that you're accustomed. Yeah, he says, when you fall into diverse, which means what? Multiple different types of temptations. He says, count it all joy. I never understood that until I studied it and found out that he is saying, you take your perspective on those situations, not based upon their current impact on your life, but based upon their future impact on your life. So don't be short-sighted to think that this is awful and I don't like it and this is not what I would have chosen. But no, James is saying, lift your head up and look down the road a little bit. And there is something that is going to happen to you as a result of these diverse temptations. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to allow you to have patience, to have perseverance. And that perseverance is going to be doing a complete work on the inside of you. In other words, you're going to grow up as a result of these challenges. These challenges are going to mature you. Why? Because you're going to find out not only who God is, because it's nothing like a trial to give you a personal introduction in a whole nother way of who God is. But then you are going to discover who you are. And there's nothing like a trial that uncovers your real makeup, what you really believe. It's all found in the midst of that trial. And so he's telling us that even though these multiple things have come, they have an intention, they have a purpose, and that purpose is that it's going to mature us. And so that's one of the ways in which we know how powerful joy is. But let me go on a little further, because this is something else that I have discovered about joy. Isaiah 61, verse 3, is the messianic prophecy. And the prophet is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And then he begins to list the things that he has been anointed to do. And look at what he says. He says, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, he's saying that there is an oil of joy. That oil, the anointing, can be smeared on you. And it is something that allows joy to not only be an inside job, but now it is something that rests upon you. And that spiritual force is impacting your lifestyle and your ability to walk in victory. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 5 says, what weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In other words, when that season of darkness is over, joy comes. In other words, then there is a breakthrough at the end of that darkness. And even though it may not be completely worked out, it may not completely be resolved, there is something that happens, that breaking of day, if you will, and that is when joy comes. So you can posture yourself to be able to have the kind of revelation that will allow you to be able to have strength to win. And listen, that strength is defined as the stamina to stand until the manifestation comes. Huh? Oh, that's good news today, that there is something about joy that will give me the stamina to stand until the manifestation comes. This joy that we're talking about tonight is something that is more powerful than you and I maybe even knew or understood, that it is so much bigger than an everyday emotion, but it has a deeper impact upon us. I began to look at my life, and I began to see whether or not I could see where joy was, where joy really was in operation in my life, and where I was at a point where my joy was depleted about certain things. And it took me to John 15, verses 5 through 11, where Jesus is talking to the disciples about the relationship between the vine and the branches. And he tells them that he is the vine, the true vine, and they are the branches. And he talks about how when you are able to abide in me, just like those branches stay connected and remain with the vine, then they're able to what? Bear much fruit. But when they are not connected, then they wither and they die. But then he goes on to say in that passage that Jesus spoke a word to them, a word of prophecy, a word of promise related to what he wanted for them, his divine will for them. And here's what he said. He said that my joy would remain in you and that your joy might be full. That tells us two things. It tells us, first of all, that it is possible to have the joy of the Lord, and that joy can remain. That means that we don't have to be sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level to the ground. That means that we can literally have a steadiness, a stability that can be found in joy. The second thing it tells us, that it is possible to have joy, but that your joy might not be full. So he's saying, I not only want you to have my joy and that joy would remain in you, but that your joy would be full. So you probably are wondering right now, Juliet, how can my joy be full? Well, let me answer it in a different way. When your joy is not full, you are not able to have the ability to transcend, remember, or to rise above the circumstances, because you know that you serve a God who is working a favorable outcome on your behalf. When your joy is not full, you are reaching a point where you have lost your energy and your zeal and your desire to pursue God and the things that he has charged us to do, that you become weary in your well-doing. That's another indicator that your joy is not full. When your joy is not full, your patience is short and you are less willing to work through situations. You become anxious about the answer coming right now. You don't have that ability to endure and persevere, like we read in James 1. And so those are all indicators that your joy is not full. Now, let me show you how to keep your joy full. If you read John 15, verses 5 through 11, you'll see that Jesus is telling them all the ways to keep their joy full. He says what? To allow my word, to stay in my word, to abide, to remain in me, which means what? To practice his presence and to recognize that he's always with us, that he is Emmanuel. He said that my word abide in you. Then that means what? That you are allowing the word of God to take up a residence on the inside of you, that you are grabbing hold to his promises and you're internalizing that thing, that it becomes real and it becomes a part of you. So all of that meditation, come on now, prayer and communion with God, allowing the Lord to fill you up and to get into his presence and allow him to pour into you that new wine, as the word says, into your new wineskin. All of those things equate to having your joy full. Does that mean you won't face challenging circumstances? Mm-mm. Does that mean you're exempt from days when you feel like giving up? Nope. Does that mean that you won't become saddened by the things that you see or the things that you encounter? Absolutely not. But here's what it means. It means that you will not remain in that place. It means that that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory will start to well up on the inside of you like a river. And you'll begin to see that the God that you serve, despite what you may feel, has a favorable outcome, that he is working on your behalf. This is not pie in the sky, Pollyanna. You're not in denial about what's going on in your life. But here's what it is. It is the revelation that these are the things that are I may be dealing with right now, but they are not bigger than my God. These things are not greater than my God. That my faith says to me that God is telling the truth about the promises that he has made to me, that I am in a place of hope, of earnest expectation of who God is and what he is able to do. And those things are deep inside of me. And when I need to make a withdrawal, I can. And it gives me that ability to rise above, as I have said before. Listen, but here's the key. If you don't deposit anything, then you can't make any withdrawals. So that means that spending time with God and spending time in his word and allowing his word to be engrafted in you are the keys to your ability to truly have joy, and not just any joy, but that your joy would be full. Mm. So in this season, when, you know, people are celebrating and they are happy about, you know, the time of giving, you may not feel like you're in a posture or a place where you feel like, you know, the Christmas spirit, if you will. I want to encourage you to go back to the basics and begin to ask God to fill you with his joy, and that he would show you the joy killers in your life. Oh my. He would begin to reveal to you the things that are draining and siphoning off your joy. It could be a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be some other form of interaction that you are engaged in that's causing your joy to be depleted. Ask God to show you those things and then begin to make the necessary corrections so that you can posture yourself in a place where your joy could remain full. I believe today that it is possible in the middle of a pandemic with all kinds of uncertainty around us to still have joy. Why? Because you have the tools and you have the will, right? Your volition. It's a part of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have made a decision to choose joy. And that is my prayer for you, beloved, that in the middle of this Christmas season, you know, many people have said, you know, how awful 2020 has been. And they've made all kinds of jokes about 2020. But I want to put you in remembrance of what was being said at the beginning of this year. So many people declared that this was the year of perfect vision, 2020. Oh, you heard it. You heard it just like I did. So many people proclaimed that 2020 was the year of vision. Well, let me show you how that was true, but maybe not in a way that you thought, that it showed you what's really been important. It has revealed, it has revealed many things about the way that you have been living, about the people and the things that you put your confidence in. It has revealed even some things in this nation where we live. It has revealed the true heart of some people and some circumstances that maybe you didn't respect. And so, yes, to that degree, it has been a year where our vision, our ability to see, has been altered forever. And so with that, I want to encourage you to end this year with a decision to choose joy. And not only is joy a supernatural force, but let me tell you something else about joy as I close. Joy is contagious. That's right. You can have joy and be excited about the things that God is doing in your life and to be able to smile, but it's contagious. If somebody sees that you have that effervescence and that passion on the inside of you, they're going to want to know and inquire, what is it that gives you that ability not to be sad and despondent the way the rest of the world is? What is it that makes you different and gives you a passion to want to do things for God and do things in this world and still pursue your vision and your dreams? What's different about you? And that's when you'll be able to tell them about the Jesus that is at the root of your joy. Oh, I hope you have enjoyed hearing about joy, because it is referenced in some form 218 times in the Bible. And that tells us just how important joy is. And so I hope that you make a conscious decision to have more joy and to posture yourself to receive more joy from Him. I am going to end it there and want you to know, if you need to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email at destinyempower@gmail.com, or you can find me on social media. On Facebook, I'm found as Juliet Davis, or on Instagram and Twitter, you can find me as true_journey. I am so glad that we had this time together, grateful for the year of 2020. As challenging as it may have been, I choose joy. God bless you, and I look forward to getting with you again in the new year. Remember these words, because it's absolutely true. The Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Ewing Moving and Storage. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Keita Keet. I am so glad that you all decided to join me this evening. And real quick, if this is your first time listening, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. You could have been anywhere, but you decided to tune in with me tonight, and I just want to say thank you. And also, if you'd like to contact me, if you want to shout me out, if you want to say, hey, Keita, I like what you're doing, or if you even have any prayer requests, I can be reached via email, and my email address is lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com, and that is L-U-V, the number 2, M-K, the letter U, L-A-F-F@yahoo.com. Also, I can be reached on social media, on Facebook as well as Instagram under Keita Keet, and that is K-E-T-T-A-K-E-E-T. Again, thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and listen, that was a sigh of relief to all of my listeners. When I tell you, I am so excited that we are now at the last month of 2020. To say that this year has been challenging is probably an understatement. but I give all glory to God for blessing me to see this month. Amen. And tonight, we want to talk about grace. Now, last month radio show, I talked about the topic of hope. But tonight, I want to talk about grace. Amen. And I want to talk about grace in as it pertains to how God has truly showed us grace throughout this year. All right. So we're just going to jump right into it. I'm not going to be before you long tonight. I'm not going to hold you long tonight. I know that you are spending time with your families. And I pray that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. And actually, as we prepare for the Christmas season to come up, I pray that everyone will have a blessed Christmas as well. Amen. But we would just want to get right into it. Now, of course, we have heard terms such as grace period. Grace period is the length of time given after a bill is due, during which payment can still be paid without penalty. So many of us have heard this term before, grace period, you know, whether it's 5 days, a 10 day grace period, or even a 15 day grace period, depending on the company, depending on the bill or expense. You know, most companies give what is called a grace period. And again, a grace period is the length of time given after a bill is due, during which payment can still be paid without penalty. Okay. We've also heard the popular song, Amazing Grace. How many of us remember that song, that hymn, Amazing Grace? Many of us know it by heart. And it was written by John Newton. Centuries ago. But, you know, when we think about songs or hymns, you know, immediately we think about the song Amazing Grace. Okay, well, let me just give you a quick definition. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, grace is described as or defined as unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification, a virtue coming from God. I'm going to read that again. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines grace as unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. It's also a virtue coming from God. Now, that's what Webster says. But what does the word of God say about grace? I'm so glad that you asked. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace we've been saved through faith. It is not our own doing, but it's a gift from God." John 1 and 7 in the Good News translation says, "God gave the law through Moses. but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, New King James Version, it says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Amen. So as we can see, you know, grace is throughout the word of God. Amen. It is God's unmerited favor upon us as his children. And when we really stop to think about the grace of God, it is something to marvel over. It is not something to take lightly by any means. By no means should we take the grace of God lightly. If we can just be honest for a moment, this year has brought some major challenges for many of us. We've seen so many things just in this year alone. We saw racial unrest and injustices. We saw this pandemic that we are still dealing with even right now, this global pandemic. We've seen things happening in our government, both on the national level, both in local governments and things like that. And when I think about the things that I have dealt with, and I will honestly say that, you know, I was hearing the term about, you know, let's just cancel 2020. Okay, well, my mindset was, I'm not canceling anything, because it is by God's grace that even through the challenges that I am still here. And because God has shown me grace, and of course, God has definitely shown everyone grace, but I'm just speaking personally, because God has shown me grace, it has allowed me to show others grace. Amen. When certain situations have come up in my personal life, it has allowed me to show people grace. You know, we might use this term of saying giving a person a pass, but in all actuality, it's just showing a person grace. Amen. You know, God's grace is something that we did not earn. It is a gift from God. And it's through God's grace that we are here. It is through God's grace that we are saved. Amen. So I just want to read a little from this devotional that I came across on my Bible, in a Bible plan. And the name of the Bible plan is entitled Amazing Grace: Every Nation Prayer and Fasting. And this Bible plan was provided by Every Nation. So thank you so much to Every Nation for providing this Bible plan. And for more information, you can head over to www.everynation.org. Amen. But again, this Bible plan is entitled Amazing Grace: Every Nation Prayer and Fasting, provided by Every Nation. And the name of the devotional is entitled Inviting Grace. And I just want to read a portion of this devotional entitled Inviting Grace. And it starts off with a scripture reading, and it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." And that's coming from Hebrews 4:16. And the devotional starts as this: "At any given time, there are over 1 million people flying in airplanes all around the world. They may be traveling for business or pleasure, but there is one thing that they all have in common. They all have a ticket. Without a ticket, it is impossible to even get through security. Nonetheless, on an airplane, commercial airplanes are simply off limits for those who do not have a ticket. For Israel, the place that was off limits was the most holy place, the inner sanctuary within the tabernacle. This holy place where God's presence dwelled was separated from the rest of the tabernacle by a veil, and only the high priest could enter through the veil on the Day of Atonement, when he would offer sacrifices for the people's sins. In Hebrews, the author says that Jesus has become our great high priest. Because of what he has done for us on the cross, the veil has been torn in two, allowing all who have put their faith in Jesus to come boldly into God's presence. Jesus has become our ticket, granting us entrance to the place that once was off limits to us. And he grants us so much more than passage to an airplane, but access to a relationship with God himself. Hallelujah. However, there are often circumstances in our lives which keep us from taking advantage of the access we have to God's presence. It may be the shame of a lingering sin or the disillusionment caused by acute suffering. Or sometimes we become so focused on the mission that we stop running to God and spending time in his presence. This is the enemy's scheme to keep us from running to God, because he knows that it is here that we will receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. It is by communing with God and receiving grace from him that we can resist temptation, persevere in suffering, and accomplish his mission. Because of Christ's inviting grace, you can draw near to God. Amen. And that is an awesome reminder about the importance of God's grace, the benefit of God's grace, and how loving God truly is towards us. And again, God's unmerited favor, his grace, is nothing that we have earned, but it is a gift from him. And that last part, when it talks about having a close relationship with Jesus, I want to touch on that too. My sister, shout out to Tammy Terrell Johnson, designs t-shirts. And one of the t-shirts that she has designed, and I love this, it says religion and relationship. But the word religion is crossed out with a red line. And the word relationship is in red, but it's not crossed out. It stands out. And the shirt represents that God is not a religion. Amen. God is not a religion. God is not looking for a religion, but he is looking for a relationship. And it's by grace. It is by God's grace, his unmerited favor, that we are saved through faith, that we can have a close relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So when we think of God's grace, we can think of being able to come directly to him through Jesus. And when it talks about the veil being torn, you know, we no longer have to go through a priest, but we can go through Jesus Christ to get to God. Amen. Jesus is our high priest. Amen. And the scripture even says that no man comes unto the Father but through Jesus, but by him. So we can take comfort in knowing that when Jesus went to the cross and he died and he was buried and was resurrected, once we accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior, we were saved through faith. And now we are in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. So as I wrap this up, I just want to say that remember not to take the grace of God lightly, but every day, my pastor says, a shout out to Pastor Nicole Bradley, but be intentional about seeking God daily, reading his word daily, and going to him being thankful, especially being grateful and thankful for his grace and his mercy. Amen. So I just want to end tonight's show with prayer. And just to encourage everyone to keep going. 2020 has been challenging, but it's through the grace of God that we are still here. So don't quit. Let's keep on going. Amen. So, Father God, it's in the name of Jesus. We come before you right now saying thank you, Lord God. Thanking you for your grace, God. Thanking you for your mercy, God, in the name of Jesus. For your word says that your grace is sufficient for us in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for protecting us and keeping us, Father God. We thank you that you are a keeper, Father God, in the name of Jesus, of our souls, of our minds, of our hearts, Father God. We thank you, Father God. And we ask for forgiveness for any time that we have taken your grace and mercy for granted, Father. But right now, Father God, we want to say thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your gift of grace. It is nothing that we have earned, Father God, but it is a gift from you. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God. And for anyone out there who's listening, who has lost hope, who is discouraged, I pray right now, Lord God, that you will please remind them that you are still with them. Your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God, that you desire to have a real relationship with you, Lord God. And your desire is that we will have a close and real relationship with you through Jesus Christ, your son. So we thank you, Lord God. We praise you. Thank you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Well, again, thank y'all so much for listening tonight. You all could have been anywhere, but you decided to tune in for this last month of 2020. And I pray that the rest of your month, even going into 2021, will be amazing. We're not canceling 2020. We won't quit. We're going to stick this thing out. Thank y'all again. You all have a blessed night.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.